Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
Here on Money FM 89.3, I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Today on Health Suites, we find out how palliative care is moving away from the conventional day hospice model. The Lian Foundation and HCA believe that spaces for the terminally ill are not just about functionality and safety, but should also celebrate joy and life. Coming up next on Money FM 89.3.
Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Today we look at palliative care. Joining us on the phone is Dr. Chong Po Heng, Medical Director of HCA Hospice Care. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Now, before we go any further, let's start with defining what palliative care is so that we can correct some misconceptions.
Sounds great. It's a good place to start. Palliative care means very different things to very many people. And I like to think that it is a philosophy of care. So it embraces very many different things. It can be offered at different places, whether it's in a hospital, in the hospice, as in an inpatient hospice where people move in to stay for a short period of time, or it can be offered in the home setting. So what do we do in palliative care? We kind of assess the patient and the family for their needs when they're struggling with a serious illness, sometimes threatening their lives, and then minister to those needs. And it might not be just about medication, disease, or dying. It might be about coping with challenges, with treatments, or with handling care at home, or perhaps maybe completing the life in some way, like leaving a legacy or writing a will. I'm sure a lot of people are confused with all of the above, but just remember, it is something somewhere that you go to when you're in trouble with serious illness, and we'll take care of everything else. I hope that simplifies.
You know, a lot of us would have probably thought of palliative care as end-of-life care, and that's all there is to it. But I'm starting to understand from what you just said, it's not necessarily that. It is also long-term care for a serious illness, a recovery, not necessarily, the old concept of waiting to die.
Oh, certainly not. So, obviously, with the misconceptions around, people think of me as like a Dr. Death, for example. But, we come in not to fix things, but to make things better. So it all depends, on the individual or the family. What are some of the things which are troubling them as they are, going through treatments, or coming to terms with a diagnosis, or trying to just plan things to work for them. Sometimes even if you're diagnosed with very advanced cancer, you might decide not to have treatments, you might want to do something else instead, and they're not sure about it. Sometimes they come to us for a second opinion, for example. So really, it's not quite, a one-way ticket to heaven.
Good, that's good to know. Because from the few people that I've spoken to, just to get some background and some perception on what the thinking is on palliative care, a lot of people avoid even talking about it. It's falls into that whole pantang, if I don't talk about it, I won't need it. I'm never going to die.
I think it's a way people cope with, fears. But I like to, qualify that this fear is unfounded. Some things like birth, sickness, or health and dying and death are some of the constants or consistent things that we see in life. So try to understand it a little bit more, be aware, be mindful, and then embrace it as it comes.
All right. So let's talk about palliative care as a whole. How do people go about it? If they're a caregiver, they've got maybe an aged parent who might need it. Do they sign up somewhere? Is there somewhere to enroll in these kinds of services?
Okay. So as I said earlier, this care can be provided at different places. So we, it's 30-over-year history right now since the movement started in 1970s or the 1980s in Singapore, at least. It started actually in the UK in the 1960s, the modern hospice movement, but it actually went around the world and came to Singapore really sometime in the 1980s, due to the good work of a couple of giants in our field. And since then, we have evolved and allowed this care to be provided in different places so that people can access it anytime, anywhere where they need it. Take, for example, if a mum is, one of our listeners' mum is diagnosed with an advanced cancer and is, struggling in hospital, wondering whether they should proceed with treatment or, just try something else, or perhaps not go on with treatment because somebody is really old and they don't want to spend so much money or don't want to go through the ravages of very aggressive treatment, then they could come to palliative care to see how else some of those symptoms that they, face as they are struggling with serious illness can be mitigated with some of the tactics or interventions that we can provide or suggest. And it need not be about medicine. So there's lots about mind-body medicine. There's lots about non-pharmacological treatments of our non-drug treatments of different sort of symptoms, whether it's breathlessness or tummy aches. So some of these things we can have deep discussions about. And most of the time when somebody is, diagnosed with a serious illness, it would have an impact emotionally, sometimes even spiritually. And we do have, a team of us, who are trained in different domains, who will be able to minister to those needs depending on what comes up in a conversation that we have with our clients.
I think that one of the things that is probably the most important of the palliative care that you're talking about is this conversation that you're encouraging. Because as a caregiver, as a primary caregiver of an aged mum who was severely ill before she passed, it is overwhelming the amount of information I had to digest and process and make decisions on, correct? And you're talking to your doctors and their oncologists or what have you, they're going to give you the facts. You need to go and do your own research. You need to talk to different people. You need to talk to your parents about what they want and where their comfort levels are. But it is overwhelming. And if they can come to someone like you who understands the position and can give us alternatives, I think that is a very, very important part of what you do.
You're so right, Clarissa. Everybody means well. I mean, the doctors in the hospitals or in the specialist centres, they just want to have you be provided with different options. But sometimes, it overwhelms you. Once you hear something so devastating as a cancer diagnosis, for example, it would suddenly kind of dawn on you that, hey, now I have an expiry date. And if the expiry date is very short, it kind of really makes you terribly anxious and you start not to be able to think straight. You start to have that sense of doom, and all of those things are not helpful at all at this time. And therefore, palliative care comes in kind of almost like a Marie Kondo, arranges everything nicely. What you don't need, you can throw away. But then what you need and what's important to you right now, you can treasure. You can then enhance. And that's what it's all about when we are talking about palliative care here.
All right, now let's talk about some of those enhancements. What can patients expect when they are in a day hospice? What kind of activities, what kind of environments can they look forward to?
Great. So we are now focusing on care that is rendered within a day hospice. Just to put things in context, if you're in hospital, you get palliative care. If you're in patient hospice where you move in to stay, you can get palliative care. If you're at home, you can get palliative care. But then we have got an extra option that we have made available to patients who can come to a space just for the day. They don't have to stay. They can still go home to enjoy time with family. But in the day, the rest of the caregivers can be given respite, which means they can take a break from caregiving and we take over. And when we take over, we don't mean to kind of like, take over and run that person's life. That person has a life of his own now in a space which is protected, customized for that patient to realize his own potential, to find out things that he never knew he could do, and also to understand that he's not the only one in this position. There are many others who are facing the same, I would say, future, And we start to think, you know, or help them think that they have a future in spite of a short, you know, prognosis or what I would call a short expiry, indirectly, and realize that they have so much they can still invest in, they can still develop, and they can still treasure and you know, hopefully leave something behind for their loved ones, you know, at the time.
Right. Now, give us an overview of HCA's plans and how that has and will change palliative care in Singapore with your facilities and your offerings.
So, coming back to OASIS, the New Day Hospice, which is appointed by the organisation HCA Hospice Care with the support of Lian Foundation, we have built an OASIS, literally, which is a space where people can come and enjoy activities of different types. And it is actually customized according to what we will call the 3D concept, which is about diversity. They can come in and enjoy different activities, which they can pick and choose, almost like what you can see in Club Med. All right, I feel like doing something like playing a ukulele, or I just want to sit back and enjoy a quiet time in my sleeping pod, or I just want to get my hair done, or meet the dentist. So that's one part where there is a diversity, and they can come and feel like they can enjoy some dignity in the sense that they get a nice spa. They get treated as a whole person rather than a condition or a disease. They can be acknowledged as somebody who has got hopes and dreams, having conversations with you know, our care teams on what they would like, you know, in terms of their future, their aspirations, their hopes and wishes. And then in terms of development, they will be given opportunities to learn new crafts, whether it's in gardening, it's in baking your sourdough bread, or anything else that they fancy, or the whole gamut of programs that we offer. So in this 3D concept, we hope to be able to give life back to the person who thinks life is coming to an end. So we hope to push the, you know, this paradigm to change to something that is not doom and gloom, but rather cheery and optimistic. That's what we are hoping to do.
You know, Dr. Chong, I at this point, I want to share something rather personal. 2 weeks before my mother passed, I asked her, "What do you want? I will give you anything. I want to see you happy." And she said, "I want to go to a spa." And so we arranged a day spa. She did everything, her hair, her nails, her massages, her wraps, everything. And I'd never seen her so happy in the years of treatment. So what you're talking about, I can honestly say, as a caregiver, will bring so much pleasure and joy.
Exactly. So I just wanted to say that, you know, this program or these programs have been curated really because we have listened to the voices of our patients. Again, sometimes, you know, whether it's in this country or, you know, how we plan things, we often, you know, think what they might need. But I think we need to flip the card around and ask them what they really want, just like how you have done with your mom, and then deliver it to them. As and when they want it, that would bring a big, big smile to anybody. Don't you think so?
I agree, totally. I'm all for it. I will advocate it on the highest mountains if you would like me to. Now, the palliative care landscape in Singapore as a whole, let's talk about what you think can still be improved.
A lot, lots. I think one of those biggest things is what we've been talking about, misconceptions, ignorance. So if you pick anybody on the street and ask them what palliative care is, you know, 9 out of 10 are WhatsApp. And even if they know what it is because they listen to this program, they wouldn't know where to find help. So in Singapore, there is an organization, Singapore Hospice Council. Go to their website. There is a whole rich, you know, database down there for you to find the provider, to find literature, to find support, to find caregivers and everything else that you might need. So singaporehospice.org.sg.
Right. Okay. And I think that's an important resource.
That's one bit. Yes, exactly. And the other thing is really about, you know, there are so many different types of services that are providing almost the same type of care. So I think in this landscape, it is important for us to kind of link everything up, you know, so that people. I was just speaking with a bereaved caregiver who has just lost his mom. What he told me is exactly what I'm hoping to share right now. There are so many services. Which one should I choose? where should I go? What do they do, each and every one of them? I think people get kind of like overwhelmed by too much information, just like what you said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So what we probably need would be a one-stop information provider or a hub where people can go to so that they can get what they want when they need it very quickly. Because again, when you have so little time left, you don't want to waste time going around looking or hunting for services.
Sure, and it's not something prior to needing it, you're going to just research and keep it at the back burner. Because it comes back down to, you know, we don't want to reach out to.
Not at all. And I think the last thing I wanted to add here really is about, you know, which is related to a talk I gave this morning to a group of doctors, death education. I think people need to be comfortable with dying and death. And not push it far, far away as if it will never happen to anybody. I am trained in looking after dying children. And I want to let people know that people can die anytime. A newborn baby, a young toddler, a teenager, a young adult, or a very old person. So anybody can die anytime. So just learn to treasure everything that you have, you know, where you are right now. But plan for, you know, what might come or what could happen anytime, and just you know, get familiar, get comfortable, so that when it does happen, you don't, you know, panic or you don't get lost or confused.
You know, Dr. Chong, that's going to take a little while. We are all Asians, and the whole concept of dying is, you know, for an Asian, something we talk about, oh, I don't know, later.
Oh, yes, yes. But this is something I hope we will continue to champion. And I think we need to kind of go out and tell more stories. I think that's what we need to do.
I've had a fantastic conversation talking to you. Certainly changed my perception about palliative care.
Thank you.
And I think that we're going to have a conversation about this again as we go along, just so that we can drive the point home that it isn't just about waiting at home to die.
Not at all.
Thank you so much, Dr. Chong Poh-Heng, Medical Director.
Oh,
my pleasure. Dr. Chong Poh-Heng, Medical Director of HCA Hospice Care. You've certainly given us a different perspective to think about.
Thank you.
I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. This is Money FM 89.3, Singapore's most influential radio station.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.